sports, news, and entertainment covered with some middle ground common sense right here with the Smart Guys.
Sense, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lack of it in our world today, don't we? And we're running a couple of guys who can make a little sense of stuff and do it the right way. Charles Walshine, foreclosure defense attorney, top litigator, walshinelegal.com. Steve Schwartz, businessman, aficionado, entrepreneur. Mr. Double.com, folks, home of the great hoodies. No shirts, I might add. And we welcome in Mr. Walshine, Mr. Schwartz, Charles and Steve. How are you? Doing okay?
Hey, is the world flat or is it round? I can't decide. And the world keeps spinning round and round, but Stevie Schwartz is spinning along with it. And first off, I could say a lot of love to Clark Gillies. It seems like every Long Islander has a picture with Clark Gillies. Everyone has a Clark Gillies story. What a great Long Islander, and he passed on, a great Islander. So that was that kind of hurt because I spent a lot of good time with that guy. And then there's my musical legend, Meatloaf. And God, man, I mean, one of the greatest concerts I've ever been to, Meatloaf. I mean, does it get any better? I mean, man, love Meatloaf in his prime. You know, rest in peace. And there was a couple of, there was Anderson, a comedian. There was all kinds of things going on this weekend. And then I go to my mayor. I'm with the tragedy that took place with the cop shootings. I mean, I think that this mayor really wants to step up, and I hope that he doesn't have handcuffs on. He's trying to pacify everybody, trying to be buds with everybody, but. You know, I'm rooting for him. And then there's the Governor Hochul, who's, like, nowhere to be found. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, she's already thrown in the towel. I mean, I am just so disappointed in her. You know, she shows absolutely no leadership, none. She's always five steps behind the eight ball, all right? This is not what I'm looking for. But then you got to go with something that put a smile on all our faces. The NFL had the greatest weekend it has in its history, four unbelievable games. And everybody wants to talk about the great quarterbacks and the great teams and this and that. I say, I hate to say it, I got to tell you, screw that. There's no great team. There's none of that. There's four great field goal kickers. These guys were incredible. These guys were the heroes. We'll start with the L.A. Rams kicker. He misses a field goal and then comes back and
he's
a winner.
Keep going, buddy.
His name is Matt Happy Gay, all right? Don't rush me off here. Then you had Robbie Good as Gold, all right? Robbie Gold was incredible, okay? Then you had, of course, Harrison Butker, bad man, Kansas City. But I got to talk about this guy, Evan McPherson. This guy went to the sideline before he went on the field to kick the winning field goal. He goes back, he sees the defensive line, and he goes, "You guys wait right here. When I come back, we're going to the championship game." He goes out there and knocks in a 54-yarder. The guy is legend, Mr. Money McPherson. And with that said, Jay, you claim to be this great quarterback of our team here, and you are. But you know what? Me and Charlie are the field goal kickers. And Charlie, how are you doing today? One of the greatest field goal kickers I know, Charles Walsh.
Wow. That's what, holy cow. You know something? I am happy as a clam at low tide. Wow, what a monologue. Holy cow.
That was a great monologue, Steve. You know what? I gotta send a quick note to Kilmeade in case I go over to 9 o'clock. I mean, terrific. That was a good monologue.
That was 3 minutes, okay, Jay? We got plenty.
That was very good. Very good monologue.
Thank you, sir.
And Charles, very good morning to you. Yeah, Clark Gillies. I don't know what's going on. You know, we've lost too many people. Louis Anderson, right in the middle of it all, one of my favorites.
These aren't people that even have.
Well, young guy. Saget, 65. Louis Anderson, 68. But, you know, guys, let's get right into it. You brought up Hochul. She's been a massive disappointment. There's no question. We keep accentuating the fact she was a mod dem. I don't know where she's been. You know, now the mask mandate, Charles, we'll start with you, was slashed by a Supreme Court judge in Nassau County. You know, the masks regarding the schools and the staff and everything else. Already fighting back. She's going to push back an appeal or go back and play until there's a ruling there. But, you know, that gives you kind of a sense of where we are. as far as this state is concerned. You know, you got a governor who is pandering without question to the other side, getting ready for her own deal as far as... Listen, Steve, I don't know. I mean, she's got a very comfortable lead. She knows it. It has four candidates as the primary. The next few... She's in the driver's seat. She'll act as she wants. Listen, her... New York City, and with what Eric Adams unveiled, yes, to me, a gauge to really kind of see where she is at. But she has been an unmitigated disaster, as far as I'm concerned. Unmitigated disaster since August, since taking the ranch. She has. I'm sorry, she has. But it is a big-time problem. She's already fighting back with the masks. But Charles... how she will be graded is what comes upon her in the next couple of weeks as far as New York City and these guns are concerned. Go ahead.
Well, that's a mouthful. You know, I don't think the race, I think the governor's race is, I don't think the players are all squarely before us. I think we have to hear from some other people on both sides. The Democrat side is a loaded field, and they haven't even shown their faces yet. There's two faces out there, maybe three. I don't think the election's going to turn on the mask mandates. She's just trying to keep everybody happy right now and calm. A disaster? I don't know. I think we've gone through 2 years of disaster, and I don't think there's anybody who could have made it really that much better or that much worse. We're kind of all hanging in the lifeboat, waiting for the Coast Guard right now. That's where I feel we are.
It's way too much political football is being played here. It's way too much. Enough is enough. It's time to call for a new game. And it's getting so old talking about this stuff. So old. And it's beyond frustrating. You know, it's just because, you know, you expect response as far as how Hochul has gone about a business. You kind of just expect it. It's almost like water off a duck's back. Okay? Mask mandate out. Pushing back. Exploring options, we're going to get it back in. It's that type of approach that makes this thing so tiresome at this point in time. So tiresome. Go ahead.
It's so obvious we need Lee Zeldin. I mean, it's just so obvious. And I truly believe that. We need somebody who's going to go in there, okay, and not worry about hurting people's feelings, just getting the thing done the right way. And you know what? We've been talking about the same issues for months and months and months. And, you know, as governor, according to my cohort, Charlie, you know, he laid it out for you. You can't do anything unless the governor's on board. And so she's really the most powerful person. She can make the changes. She can begin to start putting stuff in law, whether it's crime, whether it's the COVID stuff. Even everything she does, she goes halfway. How do you make a stand and just get blown out the way she gets blown out? She makes a stand, and then she walks away from it. So it's not a matter of the mask thing. You know, she got overruled. She did this. She did that. She just doesn't seem to have the respect of the people. So I said this right when the Cuomo thing was going on. The worst thing to do is to be able to have the lieutenant governor be able to just walk in after the governor messes up. And we've now had this on numerous occasions. We need to have an election right away. That is so important to the state and the city of New York. It is just, it's incredible that she's the governor. She's a sweet lady, but she is not qualified to be the governor. No way, no how. All right? Okay. I want Lee Zeldin.
Schwartz wants Zeldin in. Maybe you can turn it around. Maybe you can turn around. I think you need a Republican governor. Maybe you need a Republican governor. We'll see. What do you think of that aspect?
I think Schwartz's got a man crush on Zeldin just like you do. And now guess what? You know why? Because I saw on Schwartz's porch the other day a tube, one of those poster tubes. And he had his scissors and a website open to Lee Zeldin. He had his printer rolling, doing 8x10 of Lee Zeldin for the pasting on the face. So you have competition, my friend. Do not slack. Hit the gym. Schwartzy's running marathons. What are you doing?
Listen.
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to...
white field to choose from.
You know... I can't figure you out.
Love affair. Ever.
You know, Walshine...
I would never break into that.
Walshine, I can't figure you out. All I'm trying to do is have somebody save the freaking state. And, you know, you're in denial. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you think Jamani Williams is the answer. Isn't that right? Why don't you just come clean? You think Jamani Williams probably is the answer to saving the state. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, we'll figure that one out.
You know what I just saw this morning? Crazy stuff. Florida, and this is tying right into my turd, because I had my turd all squared away, and I'm gonna foreshadow myself here a little bit. What they are discouraging this law or something that in Florida where you're not allowed to say gay. You can't say gay. Gay is a bad word now. You can't say gay. It hurts gay people's feelings. This is what the governor in Florida. So he's without question, my turd. So don't even try. If anybody had that, you're not using it. It's mine now. But this is the craziest thing, and I know it's a little bit by surprise. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard come out of anybody's mouth, and we have heard some crazy stuff come out of people's mouth. They don't have to say the word gay because it may make kids kill themselves. That's a good one.
Comment all right.
What do you think?
No comment. Let's move on. Let's move on, because the president, once again, you know, listen, now he's calling out a Fox reporter, calling him an SOB on a hot mic, and here we go again. I mean, this guy is a, you know, you think Hochul's a disaster? I mean, this guy in the White House right now, he can't do anything right. He can't. I don't even know what to say about this anymore. You know, it's calling a guy a stupid SOV, the way he called Peter Ducey out of Fox. I mean, come on. And you know, he gives you that smile that you just want to wipe off his face. You know, he gives you that smile. You know, whether somebody asks him about Ukraine, somebody talks about inflation. You see, when it's not written down for him, that's an issue. You know, when it's not written down and somebody asks him a tough question, he doesn't know how to answer it. You know, so he'll give you those types of replies. But in essence, it is a complete disaster. His approval ratings are even lower this morning at 39%. I mean, you can't get any worse. You absolutely can't get, especially after the press conference last week, gentlemen. You know, minor incursion, Ukraine, you know, Russia, you know, but gave a green light, gave a little bit of a green light for this to happen. I mean, you know, and backtracking the whole week. And it's just a complete disaster. Every time he talks, they have to clean up his hot mess. And that's what it comes down to. And yesterday, you had a hot mess. You had a hot mess late in the day. Go ahead, Steve. Whoever. Go.
Well, hold on. Charlie, is there an international call going to be coming in later today?
No, but I did get a letter. I didn't know. I don't know if there's a call today.
I have no time to go to Omsk, but what he said yesterday and over the last week. Go ahead.
Hold on. Yeah, Charlie, open that letter.
I'm opening a letter. Oh, my gosh. Look who it's from. It is from my dear friend, fellow Democrat, Joseph Biden. He's writing me a letter. Can I read it to you, Jay?
Jay, you can't wait.
Quickly, within the next 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Here, it says, Dear Charles, I'm writing you because I don't have Jay's address. Would you please, don't start laughing. This is dead serious. A letter I received from Joseph Biden, our president personally. I don't have Jay's address, but I wanted to apologize to him personally for not sharing classified information and top-level briefings from my cabinet with him the minute that they come in. In no way did I want to hurt his feelings by not making him feel included in the process. Please let him know that I will be in the future. I will share all top level classified super top secret plans and communications with him the moment I receive them. This way his feelings will not be hurt, and tell him I love him and I'm sorry I'm not doing as good a job as he wants me to, but please let him know that I am I'm trying, and I promise to do better in the future. Love, Joe. Say hello to Steve. Wow. Wow.
That's great. When did that letter come? When did you get that?
I got it this morning.
Wow. Hey, wow. Jay, you got to comment on that. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, you are a famous guy.
Well, yeah. You know, listen. Quite frankly, I don't know if he's being facetious. The president in his memo to me on some, I don't know if he's being, you know, throwing some sarcasm as far as his ineptitude is concerned. You know, listen, I guess when people are inept, that's what they do. They try and make something funny out of it, right? Something humorous. And it has been nothing but funny. It has been a stand-up act. I mean, you couldn't have a better stand-up act over the last 12 months. So I guess I understand it. I understand what he's trying to do. A little psychology involved, covering up the stupidity, the ineptitude of the first 12 of 48. You know, we got 36 months to go with this guy. So you know what? More humor. More funny stuff. I like that. Just like we saw yesterday. So I understand what he's saying. Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. You know, you could be right.
Let me just jump in on this and say the cupcake, you know, like when somebody is losing and like it seems like, all right, I'm going to get a new PR department, you know, and we're going to go figure, you know, get a better image and make America feel a lot safer. They've got leadership here. They've got good. And everyone's laughing at the guy. And they're lining up internationally to test this guy. I've been saying this for months. And all the smart guys have. We all agree on this. And this is a moment in time where he really needs to lead. And it's not leading America. It's leading the world in a direction. Just have a direction. Have a plan. Have a direction. It seems like this guy has as little direction as the man in the moon, honestly, because he is just not. He's reacting rather than putting the plans forward. And being the leader, and there's motion, and that is a big problem. So when he's out there, you know, embarrassing himself by cursing out the Fox guy, you know, he's really frustrated. He's really come down to the point where, you know what? I don't even know if he really wants the job anymore. You know, he spent his whole life trying to get to this position. He might be looking at the calendar like the same way you're looking at the calendar. 12 down, 36 to go. You ever see like a guy who's got like done 40 years somewhere and he's got the calendar in front of him. He's got 94 days to go and he's crossing it out. That's I'm telling you, I don't see him having fun, and I see it getting worse. And I really pray to God and hope that he is not running this government. That there is a plan B. And like I said before, I can't believe what a cupcake this guy is, but I should have believed it. 47 years of a do-nothing president. And I blame all this on Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the blame for Joe Biden. Nobody in this country wanted to vote for Joe Biden. Nobody. But nobody wanted a dictator. So you had to figure out who you're voting for, a dictator or a guy with full-fledged Alzheimer's who's been a big phony for 47 years and has done nothing. You didn't give the American people a choice. There was no choice. And that's the problem. And now everyone's getting excited. Maybe we'll do a Trump-Hillary round two. God forbid. Will somebody please step forward? That brings us back to common sense, solution, middle ground, Republican or Democrat.
Bless you, Schwartzy. Bless you. Bless you.
Oh, listen. Listen, he makes a couple of points there, Charles. He makes a couple of points. Outside of the fact, you want to tell me, well, Trump did it. You know, listen, if Trump would have handled COVID better, maybe we wouldn't even be talking Joe Biden over the last 12 months, you know? But the fact of the matter is, he imploded and Biden won the presidency. And now look what we're left dealing with. I mean, there has not been one iota of anything that this guy has done well. Nothing. You can't find one thing. You can't. Tell me. You tell me one thing that Joe Biden has done well. One thing. Has he handled anything at the border with 2 million encounters over the last year? Has he done anything regarding inflation? and everything else. How has he handled foreign policy? How has he handled it? How has he handled COVID? It has been a disaster. One thing after the other. One thing after the other.
Okay, don't stop.
One thing after
the other. Go on for another couple of minutes.
And you can see at these press conferences with these puppet strings that he has on. Okay, that he has on.
I agree deeply.
It is a complete implosion over the last 12 months. And by the way, Kathy Hochul, okay, you can make all the sound effects you want, but Kathy Hochul has already pushed back regarding these mask mandates by filing the appeal. And again, it's common sense stuff. Common sense stuff at this time. Okay? Common sense stuff. This is what creates further division instead of all coming together. That's what it's all about. That
you,
is
man.
What it's all about. Go ahead. Quickly.
I love you, man.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Remember when we were, when our kids were little? Remember? And then you were at the table, and the kids, where they have, like, crayons to draw with. Remember this? And then your kid's 4 years old, and they start scribbling on a piece of paper. And it's purple, and it's green, and it's like three lines this way in a circle, and it is. And then you look, and they say, "Daddy, look what I drew." And you don't know what it is because it doesn't look like anything. It's just scribble. And what is it, honey? It's beautiful. It's a tiger. Now, what don't you say? You don't say, you know something? You're a lousy artist. You don't even know what a tiger looks like. You don't do that. You know what you say? That is the most beautiful tiger I've ever seen. And then when you get home, you put it on the refrigerator and it stays there for 20 years. And that's what I'm going to do with you, Jay. You're absolutely right, Jay. You're absolutely right. That is the best opinion I've ever heard in my life. That is so smart. You are just so on board. That is so, it's so informed and stuff. That is the best, Jay. And you know something? I want you to write it down. I'm going to put it on the refrigerator and it'll be there for 20 years.
Except Charlie, Jay makes one great point. Name one real good thing that Biden
has done. You see, the problem is, Walshine never answers a question.
What has he done good?
He never answers the question.
He hasn't ripped the country apart. He hasn't let the forces at work here rip the country apart. That's what
come
he's
on.
Good.
Come on. So you're telling me a man who stressed in his campaign as far as unifying the nation, you're telling me that he has not further divided this country. Okay? You're telling me that he actually stuck to a campaign promise?
Let's not have a short memory, Jay.
No, did he not say that he was a unifier? I'm trying to think back.
You asked me.
Did he not say he was a unifier?
Answer your question.
Did he not say yes or no?
Oh boy!
Yes or no?
You can't talk over.
Here we go again. Yes or no? Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Give me a yes or a no.
You know, Charlie did make a good point, Jay. You got to give him credit. He's right in what he's saying. He said that the country did not come apart as it would have if Trump had gotten reelected. There would have been a civil war right in the streets. So he did give some calm. So thank you for that, Charlie.
Let me give you a little historical perspective, okay?
Because I got about 2.5 minutes, but go ahead.
Okay,
quick.
We're going to go back.
Because I had to get to the turtle one. Go.
We're going to go back to your Archie comic book, Vision of the World, okay? They said the same thing you're saying about Dwight Eisenhower when he was president. The same exact things, that he did nothing, all he did was play golf. In the meantime, the man shepherded us through the most dangerous period in American history. More dangerous than the Civil War, in my opinion. And if you want to one day, when we're on the phone, not on the air, I'll explain it to you, and I'll give you the reasons for my opinion. I think Joe Biden's... I don't think he's going to get a second term because of his health.
He will.
But I think he will go down in history as probably one of the best presidents we've had. Him and Obama. That's right.
You know what? Whatever
By the way, one more thing. One more thing, please. Left to you and your girlfriend, there would be no Obamacare. 20 million
listen to me.
Would not have health insurance.
Listen to me. You need some serious help, and I'm going to get it for you because I happen to like
it. Children don't have health insurance.
Need Amanda, give me a quick drum roll. I need a drum roll right now, please. Somebody give me a drum roll. You know what, folks? We give away an award. It's called the Bronze 30 for those who have stepped in it. You can vote on the LI News Radio Twitter page. You can vote on it. Those who have stepped in it, what we do is we box it up and send it out as far as the winner. Last week, Steve nominated Mike McCarthy, coach of the Cowboys. Great choice. Charles Stewart Rhodes. Me, President Xi from China. And you know what, Steve? You got one. Good job. Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
How about that? Mike, Clueless Mike. Clueless Mike, who they don't know what to do with at this point in time, but Mike McCarthy for his resounding coaching upon the Dallas Cowboys is the recipient of the Bronze 30 Award, and congratulations to you, sir. Charles, can I have your nominee for the upcoming Quickly, sir?
I already gave it to you.
Can you repeat it? Come on.
You know what? No, I'm going to switch gears again. Now it's going to be Newt Gingrich. You know why? Because he's the most hateful, stupid human being, and I wish he would just disappear into the dust somewhere. Newt Gingrich for saying that the January 6th committee, the investigators, are going to end up all going. When the Republicans come back, they're going to go to jail. Okay? I'm changing gears. That's him, because he's a horrible human being. How's that?
All right. Newt Gingrich. Stephen, may I have yours, sir?
No leadership, 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 leadership. Kathy Hochul, nothing else to say. She is a disaster, a disaster. This is there is such great opportunity. You know, that's what kills me. There's great opportunity for her to step forward and actually make the changes, whether it was in the Manhattan DA's or regardless of what she was doing. She speaks out about nothing. Kathy Hochul, Governor of New York.
Great one, man. I'm going to have to go with Biden. What else is new? Right, guys? Joe Biden, my selection once again. I think he leads the league in it. But we'll find out next week. 8:57. Guys, thanks so much. Charles, you stay well. Stephen as well.
Love you, Jay.
Thank you, gentlemen.